to The Library Rant with me, Anne Fitzpatrick.
Me, Andy Priestner.
And our special guest,
Matt Borg.
Matt Borg. Who is currently fagging it, and we're all drinking pints, actually.
It's fantastic. You so wish you were here. We were sitting on the grass, drinking beer in the sunshine. And what did we decide we wanted to do? We thought, why don't we record a library podcast? Because that's what all the cool kids do.
You make it sound like that was kind of spontaneous, but we did plan to do a live podcast from the conference.
Yeah, we kind of had to do it at some point because we were like running out of conference, frankly.
Is this actually live?
Kind of. In a not true way.
And your general audience figures are?
Between 3,000 and a million. So.
That's actually fairly true.
And we love you all, listeners.
We do. But
dearly.
You must feel quite jealous because we are having lots of fun here.
It is very sunny.
It's envious.
I must tell you as well that
Matt keeps correcting us. It's not jealous, it's envious. He's very clear on this point. It's good to have a guest who's forthright and incisive, I feel.
And can be heard on tape, which is also good.
Tape?
I'm sorry, I've been talking about retro technology with people, so yeah, I've got all the old words. But I should also tell you that this podcast is brought to you in association with EBSCO, who bought us pints. So thank you, EBSCO. I must say, EBSCO's pints are the best EBSCO product I've used in a while, don't you think?
Yeah, comparatively, yes.
Pint source complete. Right, so what are we actually going to talk about today, Andy?
Well, Ange, today we're going to talk about lots of different things. The currency horse is actually not just going to bring an article this week. Actually, there he is now.
Oh, where? Where? Oh, I can see him. Oh, he's still quite far away.
Galloping across the quad.
Oh, there he is. Oh!
He's here. And what does he have between his teeth?
It's looking a bit soggy.
I think it's a conference programme.
It is. And what is it? BLA?
BLA, I don't know what it means.
Biggles Wade Liberation Army.
Was it Big Leg Army? No. Baby's Leg Army. Baby Legs Army.
Big Lesbians Anonymous.
You could get in that.
I'm way too short to get in that. There's a sign that says you must be this high to ride the big lesbians. What can I say? So we're at the BLA conference in London. What kind of edge of London?
Egham of London.
So what have we learned from the BLA conference, Andy?
I've learned so much.
I have. I really enjoyed it.
I really liked it.
I learned that Mick Hutchinson...
Hutchins
worked with a group of students in 1994 that had access to online stuff. Which is pretty...
OMG!
This was part of a discussion about a presentation on quality circles. Now, I'm fairly certain quality circles were come up with, that's a terrible English.
Possibly maybe invented
circa 1962, along with Dr. No and other 1962 vintage things that I can't think of.
It was a presentation of its time, just its time was 10 years ago.
If not earlier.
It just spat on my lap. Well, that shows you what he thinks of that.
I mean, it had some things that were okay, that are always going to be okay, about Theory X and Theory Y, but why now, I didn't get.
Yeah.
It seemed like a very safe option for a keynote that didn't challenge anyone.
I found out with a lot of the keynotes, actually, there wasn't anything, there were no concrete examples, there were no things to really take away and implement yourself. But... what I've learned, well, I already knew this
tell me,
is that the Twitter back channel is the place to be at a conference. And we've had some quite good discussion and comment on there.
You see, I'm slightly uneasy about it because, yeah, it's great that the Twitter back channel is lively, but it's kind of, it's not that it damages the conference, but if that is more interesting than the conference content, then it's a mistake. It's a shame. Don't you think, Matt?
We had... Andy and I had a brief discussion on the way down to the quad. Yeah, I know the terminology. And it's a poor indication of keynote content when the most engaging presentation is a 7-minute PowerPoint from one of the sponsors.
Shout out to Shardy from ReportLinker.
Yep, because that was amazing, because it told a story and it didn't have too many bullet points and it didn't have... pictures of things that you can't see because they're so small, and then the person saying, I know you can't see this,
but it says,
so why are you wasting my time with
he
things
he did
I can't
use
see?
Comic Sans, which is slightly annoying, really, but apart from that,
yeah, you know. Yeah, I don't know if he's kind of, it was an ironic sort of post.
No, he just chose the wrong font.
Yeah, bless him. But
he gets 10 out of 10 for trying.
I think there's hasn't been enough practical implementation stuff. I mean, Liz Jolly's talk yesterday was good, but it was all about, it was all referenced from the library literature, and realistically, how many of us read all the library literature, and does everything have to have a reference? I don't think it does. If you've done a great initiative and it's had impact and students are engaged, then let's talk about it.
I wouldn't have time to engage with my students and develop a partnership with them if I had read all the literature, because that would have taken up most of my working day. So instead of reading about it, I've just done it, and it kind of works.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's... Yes.
You're a bit late there, Matt.
I'm
He's not been briefed, thinking. To be fair. Dangerous sport.
Yeah.
So that was the conference.
So should we go to our gadget of the week?
Yeah, why not? So this little segment of the show, I usually just talk about one gadget, but I'm kind of broadening this out to being prepared for conferences using a tablet, mostly to just cut through the boredom of waiting for trains and maybe presentations you're not enjoying. A few really cool things you can pop on your iPad or your tablet. Audible. Couldn't live without my audiobooks. I can play them direct from the tablet. Awesome. And the other one, if you don't already know about this, you really need to.
Tell us, Ange.
Well, you don't have to have a Kindle to have a Kindle, if you know what I mean. Standalone devices are disappearing. You know, in the future, there'll be no Nintendo DSs, there'll be no Kindles. We'll just have one Omni device, one kind of fondle slab.
Is that what it's called?
Well, it is.
The fondle slab.
On the register, which I really enjoy reading, they call them fondle slabs.
I said swab then. It's fondle. A bit cooler.
Oh, well, you know, you see if it catches on. The long and the short of it is that if you download the Kindle app, you can download free ebooks from Amazon and also from other suppliers who are available. They tend to be out of copyright, but I've just been reading a really nice H.G. Wells one. So that's my kind of app of the week. Free stuff.
Can I contribute?
You may. You may. It's never been done before. But
if you have any kind of way of reading free books, a very good piece of software to download is called Calibre. It's for Mac and Windows, and it's an excellent management tool for your ebooks. It doesn't handle any of the DRM crap you get, but I said crap, is that allowed?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Talk about lesbians. I mean, okay. It's like.
it's very good for managing your own personal library.
Yeah, I've used Calibre before as well to just sort of test the limits of DRM. Not that I was trying to hack into ebooks or anything like that, just to see if it worked, and it doesn't, so now we all know.
And the great thing is, another contribution. If you put your Calibre library in your Dropbox folder, you can access it from any device, including iPhone or other Android equivalent.
That is actually pretty cool.
Ah, that is pretty cool.
That's Angel singing.
Yeah, so that's our kind of like all the apps of the week.
Excellent.
Yes.
Now, we were very lucky, Matt and I earlier. Big surprise, because what is he doing here? But we were walking through the grounds of Royal Holloway looking for a hostelry. And who did we bump into but Andy Murray? And this is an excerpt from our interview with Andy Murray earlier. Can you hit play?
Okay. Play.
How convincing. So, Andy, it's... thank you for agreeing to be interviewed.
It's my pleasure.
So how are you feeling? I mean, how long has it been since you actually played that final point and you won Wimbledon?
It's been a couple of days now. I'm absolutely thrilled and ecstatic about my win. It was a tough match, but I came through.
Now, I hear you said that you prefer the fluffy balls to the bashed around balls at Wimbledon.
Don't recall saying that.
I hear that you were meeting David Cameron at number 10 the night after your epic win, and you said that he should wear a different sort of tie in order to engage more with the voting public.
No, I don't recall saying that. No.
I hear you said that the US Open's in the bag now that you've won Wimbledon.
I don't recall saying that.
Is there anything you recall saying, Andy Murray?
I don't recall saying that.
How's the win going to change you as a person?
Oh, you know, maybe I just wouldn't crash out in the semi-finals anymore. Maybe.
So that's pretty much the best of what we got out of that interview with Andy.
Yeah, that has been cut down from about 8 hours. We did ask him if he about things that he'd said before. Like, he said that Antarctica is better than the Arctic. But
and the old questions, cats or dogs, boxers or briefs. But they were the best bits that we brought to you there.
So there, that's a nugget of
he amazeness. Had a surprisingly good knowledge of Dewey.
I was impressed with that,
it was
actually.
Very impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought he was an LC boy, to be
honest. No. He said, not the LC.
Dewey all the way was actually his phrase.
I think it was. How did he say it?
I don't recall saying that. So moving on from Andy Murray, what else do we want to...
We want to talk about my 33-somethings, can't remember what it's called, not snappily titled PowerPoint presentation on Slideshare.
33 priorities,
that's the word, for forward-thinking, engaged information and library services. It should really have just been called 33 priorities for libraries, and I made that mistake. Big mistake.
Too many words in.
Too many words.
Yes, that's a classic mistake.
And the irony of that is that I'm always having a go at my staff for using too many words, and then I go and do it myself. But quite a few views already on SlideShare. I didn't do it just for a SlideShare audience and to say, hey, I know all this stuff and I know what all the priorities are. This is just my view of what they are. And I'm not trying to say that I know everything. But it came out of a discussion that we had as a team. We had a mission and objectives meeting the other week, which was really very good.
I don't recall saying that.
It was good, wasn't it? Tell me how good it was.
Well, what I got out of it, and this is what I'm trying to do with my team as much as possible.
Your team?
Well, they're kind of my team as well.
Yeah, kind of.
Is that sometimes if you don't know what you should be doing next, then you need to start looking at what you're doing strategically. So it's like, do I empty the book trolley, or do I stick labels on things, or do I go out and actually engage with students? The answer is...
Number three. Well done. You listened at that session.
I did, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I kind of listened for the first 10 minutes at least. And then we played with Lego, so it was... Yeah. That woke me up again.
As always. I mean, there was... The main objective was engagement, emotional connection, building relationships, all that stuff. Very touchy-feely, but all absolutely true and undeniable. Mm. And the presentation is on SlideShare and will be linked to from the podcast page.
Of course, yes.
So enjoy at your leisure. What's your gripe of the week, Matt? Have you got a gripe?
Sorry, I was checking my email. Ask me again.
Your gripe of the week. Have you got one? You don't have to have one. You could just be happy with the way the world
is. My gripe of the week is that I don't own a pair of those weird socks that aren't socks. But you wear them, and I don't own them because they're stupid. But it turned out, by not wearing them, and then therefore not wearing any socks, I've got a huge blister on my right foot.
And your shoes probably smell quite fragrant.
Are these the socks that Ange is wearing now?
These are. I've just noticed that Ange is... In fact, Ange, can I borrow a pair?
Would you like to borrow a pair of my size 3 socks? Really? I must say, actually, that these are normal size socks on any other human being. It's just that because I'm so small, everything is scaled down for me.
Yeah. For viewers of Doctor Who, what actually happened a long time ago in Ange's childhood, she had an encounter with the Master, and he used the tissue compression eliminator on her, which is why she's as small as she is.
Don't recall seeing that.
I would suggest that Ange is bigger than the results of the Master's tissue compression. I mean, you can't bluff.
But some people have never seen Ange who are listening to this podcast.
Oh, well, that is true, yeah.
I'm just a scale model of myself,
well,
really.
We'll take a picture of the three of us, but we'll put her way in the background and get the perspective right. We'll, yeah.
So she looks like one of the Master's little dollies. Yeah.
Thank you, I feel so wanted and...
Loved?
Well, not that much, no.
There was possibly a news article I might have heard on a taxi yesterday about they've chosen the guy to just play the new Doctor.
Really?
Obviously not the new Doctor Who.
Just a doctor.
Just, you know, if this is
on Casualty.
If this is a podcast designed for ranting, just, his name is the Doctor. It is not Doctor Who. Okay.
Oh, apart
and you really,
from
no,
four,
apart from the
four
episode,
episodes.
Yeah,
sorry, the War Machine.
Yeah, the War Machine got it wrong, Andy. I'm sorry, but the War Machine got it wrong. Doctor Who is in the building. Yeah, bollocks, War Machine. You don't understand anything.
Just, are you doubting Wotan?
Hi, library podcast people. I'm just going to talk to you while these guys argue about something
that happened
with far too many words.
70.
Maybe we should just play some music.
No,
and
73.
Relax.
66.
Really that early?
Yeah.
So how are you? We don't talk enough.
But in the Radio Times, you were referred to as Doctor Who, not
just,
the Doctor.
I think you just have to entertain yourself for
a
little while.
When Russell T Davies took it over, the credits for the first season.
All I'm hearing for you is
during the credits for the first season of Christopher Hutchinson, he was billed as Doctor Who in the credits.
Was he?
Russell T. Evans got it changed.
Well, thank God we got that off our chests. I'm a better human being already.
We were going to talk about networking.
I don't know why you've not invited me before.
It's not going to happen again. Networking, or it's lesser, it's more snaky, sleazy cousin, schmoozing.
You can't say schmoozing without going, ooh.
Is networking a good thing? Is schmoozing a good thing? Are they bad things? Are they good things?
Only in the sense that marketing is a bad thing, which is what we found out this week.
Yeah, that was my most upsetting moment of the entire conference was when
Andy nearly exploded.
It was close. I was thinking there's going to be bits of me all over this lecture theatre and I won't be able to tidy them up because I'll be the bits.
Lovely Emma from Liverpool was sitting at the opposite end of the room and she could feel the heat coming off our incandescent.
It was like
rage.
The sun had come too close.
It was.
The question was leveled to one of the panellists. What was the question? Should librarians be marketing? Well, of course they darn well should, but the answer that came from the panel was
strangely no.
No.
Don't recall saying that.
I don't know whether I've got any more words to say on that subject. Other than
it turns out that what she meant by marketing wasn't what is generally meant by marketing.
Because it dissolved into a discussion about semantics, which is what librarians always do when they don't want to answer big questions.
What I took away from it, and my one of my more popular tweets of the week was that if you don't market your services, then you're relying on somebody's outdated impression of librarians in terms of what your service looks like. So if you want to let people come in and expect you to be shushing, then don't market your services.
I feel like we need a musical interlude of some description. Have we got anything?
Well, anything musical?
Just anything, so we can just have a run round the quad. I know, let's take all
let's
our clothes off and run round the quad. That's not a musical interlude. That's the Doctor arriving to tell us he is called Doctor Who.
Go back. Bye.
And what irritates me even more is when people say it, he's called Doctor Who, and then write Doctor D-R full stop.
Oh, that is
it
bad.
Should never be a full stop after the R anyway, because it's not, you're not shortening it. You're just sticking out the middle letters.
That's true.
So that's wrong on more than one level. We do have some music, though, actually. One of our most popular Facebook posts of the week is there's been this fantastic reimagining of Daft Punk's Get Lucky using mostly Grover from the Sesame Street gang, where they've just looked at bits where he's been saying stuff and lip-syncing him to the music. It's been really quite cool.
So is it ready, then?
I kind of would need somebody technically literate and able to play it.
What do you want? Sorry, I was looking up Doctor Who quotes.
Of course you are. Do you know the one piece of responsibility that you had to have?
Bring Doctor Who here. The quote is,
bring me the head of Doctor Who. No, Doctor Who is required.
Right, bring him here. Wotan. Sorry, what do you want?
Could you play the music, please?
I believe it was a cliffhanger, actually. End of episode 2 or 1.
It was the series that Dodo left. I remember that.
Yeah.
Hello again, it's me. The sensible one.
The sensible one. You were never the sensible one. So
no, not that one. The other one. The other music.
What, the Muppets?
Yes.
It's so difficult to work with amateurs like this. The podcast is usually so smooth.
It is.
Seamless. What are the other words?
Well, this is because we're not recording it in the studio, I think, as we normally do. It's
with the egg boxes on the walls.
Yeah, because we're out and about and all sorts of crazy stuff can happen.
What was it called? Muppets?
Muppets Daft Punk.
Can
Phil,
tap dance now. We're losing the man. We're losing them. Here we go.
There we go.
Now let's groove. Let's throw shapes to the Muppets.
This is our musical interlude. If you'd like to see this and other cool stuff, find us on Facebook.
The problem with this is they can't see the Muppets doing the lip syncing.
No. But you'll just have to take my word for it.
Daft Punk.
Actually, yeah.
Other search engines are available. Is that...
We are dancing.
We are doing the same dancing.
We're dad dancing, actually.
In the middle. It's a really cool location, though. We have to take photographs of people.
She's up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm
I think we're about to come to our final item. Hint.
Which?
So our final item is favourite tweets, not of the week, just favourite tweets ever, I think. Ever.
Can I come up with a quick one at the moment? Because I've just had a retweet from a tweet I wrote in May. Yeah. Like, how the hell did you find my tweet from May? But it was about the Eurovision Song Contest. And I say, you know, you can knock it, but we haven't had a major European-wide war since we started.
Do you think it's because of Eurovision?
I think so. I think really? It allows us to vent each other.
And
I think so. Well, these things they're just too coincidental, aren't they?
I think maybe they are.
Just saying.
One of my favourite tweets. Macaroni owes everything it has to cheese. That's a tweet from Julia Sharp. I like that.
Mm.
Any more people?
Do we have a good one about Jedward at some point?
Yeah. Damien Owens tweet. Owens Damien, @Owens Damien. O mighty sun god, how have we angered thee? Was it Jedward? It was Jedward, wasn't it?
Please let it be Jedward so we can sacrifice them to our pagan god.
Now, I really laughed at this other one the other day. From Tom Roper, doing good work on behalf of... not on behalf of Philip, actually, the opposite. But at Tom Roper. There's an important distinction between I am cooking the porridge and I have cooked the porridge, lost on certain members of family. I really identified with that one.
They're quite demanding, his family, by the sounds of it. They can't wait for porridge. We like Tom Roper. And we hopefully do. We can somehow defeat the powers of iPuke. A good tweet that I sent out today was I've been using EduRoam here at Royal Holloway, which is much stronger than it is in Cambridge. But there's a really good kind of meme guy that you often find on the interwebs around Cambridge doing EduRoam, why you know Rome? But it's here, it's roaming here, so that's why. Probably.
My favourite tweet of the week is from someone called EM Trains, East Midland Trains. Delay on the 1538 works up to Nottingham due 1644. This train is being delayed at Sutton Parkway due to a fault. Staff are investigating this.
It's thorough.
It's a good tweet.
It is. It's timely.
I'm going back 3 years now to the 23rd of December, no, October 2010. Jerry Hayes. Dear BT, I will never buy anything advertised by Chris Marshall. Never. Unless it's a smack Chris Marshall in the face ticket. Then I might.
Just weird because BT dropped Chris Marshall after that, yeah.
Well,
it's the power of Twitter, of kids. Media. It really is. I had a nice one from Emma in University of Liverpool. She sent me some crap on Twitter, which is her thing. She's apparently a crap practitioner, a crap specialist, and she talks about crap a lot at work, but she's in demand to talk about crap. Oh, we also had some fun with the BVD girls again, didn't we?
You certainly did last night.
We like you, Bureau Van Dijk.
You certainly do.
Why did you use air quotes around like?
Don't say that. You'll break the spell.
Well, I think that's just about all we've got time for from sunny Royal Holloway. We've almost downed our pints. We're feeling quite relaxed.
Yeah, we are. Do you want to play us out?
Yep.
So this... This was the library
rant.
Can
we say thank you to Matt for joining us and making it a smoother, more seamless experience?
I feel it's been a much more professional event, hasn't it?
Have you anything to add, Matt, at the end of the podcast? Like, I know, a moment of sort of clarity, of vision about where librarians should be going next. Just one pithy sentence.
Back to the bar, isn't
sentence.
It?
We're waiting.
Invite me back. I'll tell you then.
Oh,
he's going to consider it.
There's a hook there for you, listeners, even.
Okay, peeps, this was the library rant.
It was
brought to you in association with the letters B, L, and A, and the number 13. Play us out, Maestro.
Bye.
This was a Priestnough Fitzpatrick production recorded live on location in Royal Holloway University, London.